Welcome to the Sunday Morning Linux Review with Matt Enders, Tony Bemis, and Mary Tomich.
This is actually episode
62.
That's right. It's the Live from Panera episode.
Yeah, or is it going to be
Barbecue at Panera?
Barbecue at Panera. That's true. We're going to...
And you'll find out why.
We'll explain that in a little bit. So, yeah, so we're here. A little different than being in my dining room.
Right. We're waiting for me to clean out in my basement, mm-hmm. and then we'll be able to record there.
Mm-hmm.
Double-checking the levels again. Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking good?
I think so.
All right, everybody. So I guess the thing we want to do now is maybe catch up on what's going on. What happened? What you did last week?
Yeah, Mary, you're saying you had a lot of things going on, right?
I did. Remember last Sunday I had that eye problem? No, I had a corneal abrasion. I don't want to get too much information. Yeah, but some eye drops and some stuff, and I'm good this week, so it fixed.
Corneal abrasion means you scratch your eye.
I scratched my cornea, yeah.
I've done that before. Mm. Yeah, I had to go a couple awful. Weeks with, or maybe a week with a patch on my eye.
I was hoping, too. I was practicing. but no, I didn't have to do that. The other thing I did, too, is I installed Netflix on Kubuntu.
Does it work?
Yep, it works.
Oh, cool.
It works.
And I was going to do that, too.
Yeah, I even have an icon in my multimedia menu. So that works. I'm gonna publish or at least post the link to the instructions I used that was successful. And actually, they were the basically the Ubuntu instructions.
Was it the dev package? Just install the...
No, you have to add a PPA to your repositories. I don't have it up in front of me right now, but the link will be there.
Yeah, but you added PPA and you said install Netflix desktop?
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, well, I had to update sources first, and then I did. To be technically correct.
But, right.
Yeah, so I did that. The other thing I did, too, is have you guys ever used the Fish protocol at all?
Fish?
Yeah.
Not a long time.
I haven't used it.
I'll tell you what I did.
It works with Dolphin, right?
It probably does, but you know what I did is I ended up using it in Crusader.
Okay.
The root mode of Crusader. What I had to do is I had to move a bunch of songs from my my desktop to my Tonito plug server. So because I've got a little Tonito device, and then I've got a 1 terabyte drive attached to it. So what I did is I opened up the 2-pane Crusader root mode app, and then I fished into to my Tonito server. And then the other pane had my my local hard drive with all the music, so I just started copying it over. And it took a little while. I'd do some, and then I'd do some work. I'd come back and do it, and it worked perfectly.
Since I started using SSHFS, I just use that instead.
Yeah, I'll probably give that a try. I mean, Fish was pretty easy.
Fish works really well inside the app.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I always use SSHFS. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll use Samba. Shares or browsing, but it doesn't work as well.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I don't have. Didn't have
Fish. I think might use SSHFS. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if it did, but I figured since I was just on my internal network anyway, it was just easy, and all I had to do was just provide the
password. That's a good point. You're on the internal network. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm doing it, I'm always across the internet.
Yeah. So SSHFS makes a lot more sense from that perspective.
Right.
So, yeah, so I did that, and what else did I do? I think, I think that's probably the two big things that I did this past week. I got my pocket TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I joined this Kickstarter project back in April.
And you turned your television into the world's largest tablet.
Yes, I did. Oh, man, that thing is great. It just came this past week, plugged it in. You know, and again, it's a whole Android system on this little... little device that just plugs in, to the HDMI.
Right. Now, you can't use your HDMI then, though, right?
Well, it depends on how many you got, because some of my TVs have two, some only have one. But, yeah, you're right. If you've got it plugged in there, that port, then it's just not used for anything else. But, wow.
Well, it's just like any other device you plug in, your Blu-ray or your whatever. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's great. And I also had ordered with it the little gyroscopic keyboard. And so now I got the mouse moves around. And, it's very cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, so my TV upstairs that didn't have any cable or anything on it now goes right into the network and works like a charm. So,
sweet.
Yeah, so those are my little fun things.
Would you end up paying them?
$7,000.
No, I think just for the device alone with the IR and the old, you know, the standard remote was, I believe, $99 or $100 or something. Or something around that, and then I paid a little extra because I wanted to get the gyroscopic keyboard, because that way then I've got a keyboard and you don't have to hit up, up, up to get your letters or, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I, that's what I did. Yeah, so I'm liking it, I tell you.
Yeah, it was my first,
It's not the only one out there though. I think there's some others out there.
Yeah, I think there's like four or five right now out there, and there's one that Door has, and then they just came out with the upgraded model of it.
Yeah.
So, I can't. Yeah, it's like MKR 803, or whatever, or something like
that. Yeah, I think I saw that one. The other thing too, you know that makey-makey thing we talked about last week?
Yeah.
You know, I ordered two of them,
yeah.
And then a few hours later, I found out on uncommongoods.com you could get them for $40 each. So I immediately emailed the guy, and I said, this is still on Sunday. This is 2 hours after you guys left.
Right.
I emailed and said, cancel my order. Just cancel my order. I can get it a lot cheaper here, and I think I'm going to go that route. Well, I never heard back. It ends up getting shipped on Monday. I end up getting it on Thursday. The postman, I told him I'm refusing this, and the guy never, I have not heard one word from the guy yet, and I've started a PayPal dispute on, because I was charged on Monday. I think I was charged on Monday, despite the fact that I canceled it on Sunday. But anyway, I am still going to get them because they're cool. You can save $10
a unit.
A unit.
So yeah.
It's like 20%. All right, enough of me.
So if you really want to rip the guy off that badly, I guess.
They're MIT students. Come on, man. Or they're some kind of students, are they?
Well,
I know, it doesn't matter.
If they had responded to me, responded to me, I'm sure we could have worked something out, but not to not respond one bit.
And if they're
it's not them, it's whoever they're using as their fulfillment company. That's another thing to keep in mind. They're not actually fulfilling these orders.
Mm-hmm.
They're using what's called a fulfillment company.
So they better use a different one.
And that's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, but still, the device is cool.
Well, it came fast, though.
It did. I was impressed. I kind of thought, I don't want to get this, but yes, I do. Yeah.
Well, that's what fulfillment companies do. They, like all that stuff you buy from TV, that they're not, that company that's doing that infomercial is not actually shipping it to you. Mm-hmm. A fulfillment company is doing all that.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, enough of my stuff.
Yeah. It was my first week back at work.
And three days.
I gotta tell you, I was glad it was a 3 day week, because with only half your muscles working right.
Because
it's 12 hour shifts, you know, so by hour 10, my neck is cramped up, I'm all,
like a little pirate. It was bad,
it got better by the end of the week.
That's good.
And I think it'll be, I think I'll be good to go next week.
When the weekend's looming, you just set something start to feel better.
So.
All right.
Your turn.
I have a file server I was building, and before I did that, I had to copy some files off. Because what I did is I got a 2 terabyte drive, and I'm replacing the OS drive that had died. So I stick the 2 terabyte drive in there, and then I have to copy data off the other drives onto this, and then repurpose the other drive for the OS. Yeah. Well, it takes like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours to copy almost a terabyte of data. You know, some over the SATA and IDE, but then most of it was over USB. Because I had 2 external USB drives.
USB 2.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I was copying that over.
Slow.
And the next day I go in, I'm like, I look, all the data's there. And mind, I had booted from a Mint 14 live CD. And then I went in, I said, format the drive. I used their disk GUI utility. I copied everything over. I looked at it before rebooting. I'm like, sweet, it's all there. I reboot. I'm installing Debian 6, or whatever the latest, 6.2 or something. I can't remember what the 6.3. Yeah, whatever the latest one is what I downloaded. And I installed it. I got the system up and running. And then I go to mount the drive, and it says there's no partition.
Gotta love that minty goodness.
Oh, man.
So you copied it in Mint, and then when you went to boot in Debian, with the thing connected to it, it wasn't there.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's an internal drive.
Did you try to boot or put it back where it was before to see if it's still there in Mint?
I have not. I was about to do that. I just haven't had time.
Yeah,
to
I would
down.
Try. Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. I'd try that because if it was there, if it's still there, then you can do it again into something else.
What I figured I'd do is I installed Test Disk, and then I'm running the scan for it right now. So it's taking a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. When I tell it what kind of partition to look for, it doesn't find it. But when I say there's like a none option for what kind, mm-hmm. it finds it. It says, yeah, here's like four copies of the MBR. But when I say, okay, use that one, it says, oh, wait, I can't because you told me none. So when I go back and say, okay, I know it's an EXT4, it's an Intel kind of partition, then it doesn't find it.
Yeah.
So I'm running the extended or the long or whatever they call it, the big test mm-hmm. or scan right now. And then when I get home, we'll see if it's there.
Looks like Carl's with us.
Yeah.
Just got out of bed.
We're just down the street from him, practically. Right on Ford Road today.
Hey, yeah. Carl.
Don't you live off Ford Road?
He lives in Canton, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's looks like
Ford Road is Ford
Road. It's like, well, 5 or 6 miles down the road.
Yeah, right. But Metro Detroit term 5 or 6 miles. Is
right. It's a long ways. So, well, boy, it sounds like you have a little bit of work cut out for you there, trying to figure that out. And you know, that's the challenge about some of these projects is you think, oh, it's just going to be a relatively easy thing. I'm going to do this, and at the end of it, I'll have, you know, I'll accomplish my goal, and I'll move on. And then suddenly something goes wrong, and you end up spending a half a day or more trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. But there's one other thing I did this week. I found one of my favorite applications I use on Windows.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
I found it on Android.
What is it?
It's Total Commander.
And is it a file manager like Midnight Commander?
Yeah, it's a file, okay. Just like Midnight Manager, or Midnight Commander, where it's
two screens.
Yeah, two dual side. Mm. But there's all these plugins and add plugins, and you can add in like, it has built in FTP and zip and a bunch of others. Like the Windows version has all these tools. You can sync folders and a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then you can add in the SFTP, so you can FTP to an SSH server, and you can mount ISO drives or folders, files, you know, a lot of different things like that. So it's awesome. Then I found it, like, put it on my tablet, so I'm excited.
Great.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
And so it's available in Android, but not, say, in...
Not in Linux. Right.
Well, it is, sort of. Right. You just got to figure out how to... Get it, get it in a way that is compatible.
Yeah, what is a PKG
something you won't
file?
Be doing,
is that what you install in Android? If you don't do it through the...
Yeah.
No, PKG is Mac.
Or PKI or something. There's some kind of package.
It uses
file.
The same thing as Gentoo does.
For Android?
Mm-hmm. Because they use the same package manager.
I wonder if I can do an alien kind of thing and get it installed on my Mint. That would be cool.
Oh, that would be nice.
Are you
nice.
Sure it's not available for Linux?
I've looked at their website, and it doesn't have it. And a few years ago, I did all sorts of searching, couldn't find it.
Okay. Well, keep this posted.
Yeah.
Be curious. I am kind of curious about that whole file. You know, my
hard drive?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been learning a lot about file recovery, hard drive recovery.
That's how most knowledge is obtained, you know. You're
trying
to fix the
problem.
Because
you F something up.
Yeah.
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 Either your own stuff or customers.
Exactly.
It's a little easier if it's your own, but.
Nah, it's easier if it's the customers, because then you just tell them, shit happens.
Right.
Yeah, alright.
Alright.
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
We have no release candidate. We have no RC.
You're making that up.
No, we have we have no RC because we have a new baby kernel. Oh, it's so cute. 3.7 is out, and here is what Linus had to say about it. Whee! After an extra RC release, 3.7 is now out. After a few more trials at fixing things, in the end, we ended up reverting the K-swap D changes that caused problems, and with the extra RC, I had decided to risk doing the buffer C cleanups that would otherwise have just been marked for stable during the next merge window, and had enough time to fix a few problems that people found here too. There's also a fix for a SCSI driver bug that was exposed by the last minute work queue fixes in RC8. Other than that, there's a few networking fixes and some trivial fixes for Spark and MIPS. Anyway, it's been a somewhat drawn out release despite the 3.7 merge window having otherwise appeared pretty straightforward. And none of the RCs were all that big.
Is that still his quote?
Yes. Either. But we're done, and this means that the merge window will close on Christmas Eve. No. Or rather, I'll probably close it a couple of days early, for obvious reasons. It's the main commercial holiday of the year, after all. So aim for winter solstice and no later. Deal? And even then, I might be deep into the clog. Linus Torvalds.
Wow, that was the longest quote ever. Hey, now, is this the kernel, I think I read where they're dropping,
No, that's 3.8. Okay. I've got a story on that.
Okay, alright, yeah. So. Okay, I figured that might be the case. I just couldn't, wow, that's a record.
Yeah, so if all the predictions are right, the winter solstice, you're gonna get your kernel changes in.
Just before the end of
the world's gonna end, yeah.
Hey, yeah, the solstice and the Mayan apocalypse, they're occurring on the same day. Yeah. I just want you to know that.
Okay.
Should we get together on Friday night and have an end of the world show instead?
I'm having a party that night.
Are you?
An end of the world party.
What are all the Mayans going to be doing on December 22nd?
They're already dead.
Frantically Christmas shopping.
Yeah, they
are. Yeah, I get it.
All right, our stable updates. On Monday, December 10th, 2012, at 11:46, Greg Groharman released kernel 3.6.10 with 29 files changed, 278 file lines inserted, and 165 lines deleted. And on Monday, December 10th, 2012, at 11:47 Pacific Standard Time, Greg Groharman released kernel 3.4.23 with 24 files changed, 406 lines inserted, and 191 lines deleted. And on Monday, December 10th, 2012, at 11:47 Pacific Standard Time, Greg Groharman released kernel 3.0.56, with 12 files changed, 55 lines inserted, and 20 lines deleted. My kernel developer quote of the week comes from Theodore Sow. It says, "Congratulations, Oxfam America. You've just guaranteed that I won't be donating to you this year. I received the following email spam from you. Subject, did I leave my jacket at your place? It's Aziz Ansari, and of course I didn't leave a jacket at your place. I've never been to your home. But I'm glad you opened this email because I actually wanted to talk to you about something much more important. Using cheesy tactics like this is just not cool."
Hey, and while you were doing that, I just dropped in a link in the chat to the NASA. Did you hear that NASA released a video recording? Or they had recorded a video that originally was going to be released on December 22nd that said, "If you are listening to this, the world did not end." But what they did is they released it 10 days early, so it still says that same thing. But I guess they're so confident that the world will not end that they released it. So anyway, but thanks for the...
That was the kernel update.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. That was good, even though I wasn't paying any attention to it. But that was accidental.
No one ever does.
I do. Yes, I do.
I do the kernel updates for me.
Well, but I can tell you,
and the one other person
work,
probably out there.
Because when I tried to do it, I just said there were some lines updated.
Yeah, and there's a couple of different kernel mailing lists.
Some files.
No, there's the kernel mailing list, then there's the LWN kernel mailing list, and then there's kernel.org.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
All right, to the tune of some nice smooth jazz, Tony is going to read the... He's going to read the
distros.
All right, we're going.
All right, so back starting on the 9th, we have Torox 11-2012 GNOME edition. That's the Gentoo-based distro with GNOME 3.6 is the desktop. And, yeah, Gentoo. Yeah, you like Gentoo, don't you?
Who, me? Don't look at me.
No?
It'd be Arch if I did anything like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that's Sousa.
The new guy at work uses Arch.
Does he? Yeah. Does he like it?
He uses Arch and Sousa.
Aren't you guys an Arch mirror?
We're an Arch mirror, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Then we have, on the 10th, we have Seduction.
Seduction.
12.2.0.
Isn't that what you used for a while, Matt?
Yeah. And if I were still using Debian-based distros, I'd still be on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was real happy with it, but...
Yeah, because that's a Debian unstable.
And Seduction is going to come into... Seduction, the distro, that is going to come into play during my review. But not directly. So I'll leave that for a few minutes there. All right, moving on.
We have Slack 7.0. It's a Slacker-based CD with KDE 4.9.4.
Yeah, I almost did that.
It's a small CD. It comes out at 220 megs on the CD.
Yeah, that's really slim.
Yeah.
I suspect that what they've probably done is if you want, for example, Firefox, maybe they've got like a little installer scripts that they've got in the menu that if you want to bring it down.
It's probably like the Office suite is usually, 200 megs. Mm-hmm. So that's almost half the ISO right there.
I bet that's what they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost reviewed that, actually, Slacks.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, Matt. Oh,
okay.
Matt. And then on the 11th, we have web
conversion. Yeah, Matt. And then that's it. It's just off.
Well, no, I was going to say that in a minute. You're going to have Mary, or challenge Mary to do
regular Slackware.
Yeah.
No, look at him. All right, I'll try it.
Slackware 14.
Okay. We're moving on.
All right, moving on. On the 11th, we have Web Converger 16. They're the Debian-based live Linux CD.
They like have a release every other week or something.
It seems like it. Although this is a full release, 6.0 or 16.0.
Well, you know, they've got, the other thing they've mentioned here, too, is Chrome equals Neon. Now, you know, Neon is the nightly builds and updates to KDE.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's figuring into this at all. But that seems kind of odd because you'd want something... I mean, when you get nightly builds,
shit is broken.
Exactly. That's why I'm wondering if they're talking about something else here. I didn't really do any checking on it, but that kind of jumped out at me.
Right. It has bug fixes and flash updates. And,
so I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we'll move on.
All right. Moving on. We have Linux OS 12.10, which is a Debian-based or Ubuntu-based distro with a customized GNOME shell.
Quite Quail. That's what they're calling them. Is that
really?
Right?
Where do you see that?
Better with the release of Linux OS 12.10, Quite Quail.
Or Quiet.
No, Quite. Unless they've misspelled it.
Oh, that's right. Quite Quail.
That's Quite Quail. All right.
All right, going on, we have the Superb Mini Server, or the SMS 2.0.2. Mm-hmm. That's the Slackware-based server. That's like a back-end for small businesses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have Gparted Live 0.14.1-1. Bug updates for Gparted. Going on, we have...
Univision.
Development. Oh, yeah.
it's Univention.
Univention. Yeah. Corporate Server 3.1. I was looking through that, and it looks pretty cool. If you go to their website...
Yeah, they're a German company,
screenshots.
I think, yeah.
That they have their, UCS is what they call themselves, the Univention Corporate Server.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has their Univention App Center to be able to easily install applications. And then they have a management utility, what is it called? Somewhere in there, where, with Samba 4, then it will connect in with the Active Directory servers.
Will it be its own Active Directory? Can you use it as a domain control?
It says a tool for simple migration of Microsoft Active Directory servers. So if you migrate from an Active Directory to this, it looks like.
So it'll probably provide that support.
Yeah, being a corporate server, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, one other thing I want to mention, because I know you're at the end of the distro list for this week, is that soon to be coming out will be Qubes 2.0 because they just released the beta of it. And you remember when I did my review of Qubes? Remember that's that tight down virtual machine stuff where you just...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's very secure, but it's just... very restrictive. And one thing that they didn't have going at the time was audio. But it looks like in 2 they're going to have audio, because when you think about it, the audio, the hardware was in this other virtual machine. So if you're streaming from a second virtual machine where your web browser is in, it wasn't getting over there. They just hadn't put that together yet. So it looks like this version is going to have that in place. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So, all right. Matt's falling asleep. Just wait till you get to my review.
No, I just ignore that and do other stuff.
All right. So yeah, that's it for the distros releases. Now going on to the top 5 of the week. So I have to hit refresh, scroll back down.
Step three
is to read them off.
Okay.
And it's at number 5 we have Fedora with 1438.
And trending down.
And number 4 we have Debian with 1481.
And trending down.
Number 3 is Ubuntu with 1543.
And trending down.
Number 2 is Magia with 2421.
And trending up.
And at number 1 we have Mint.
That, gotta love that minty goodness.
Well, Tony will love it if that works for that hard drive.
Right. 4246.
And trending down.
Alright.
Yeah.
Magia is the only one trending up. I still think the Magia camp has some kind of bot in there that just keeps hitting the distro watch page.
It would be easy to put together a script that hits them. Of course, you'd have to switch IP addresses. Maybe it does it through Tor, so it comes up. See, that's how I would do it. Okay, yeah. But I'm not crooked like that. All right. Well, I guess. Hey,
we're going on to the review this week, right?
That's right.
Mary, what's on SDA 6 this week?
And I'm glad you asked. This week's review is, actually, it's a slightly unusual project. It's Linux BBQ, or barbecue, as I'm going to call it. First off, you know what Linux is. Secondly, you know what barbecue is.
Right.
So when you put Linux and barbecue together, what do you get? Well, I did that in Google, and there was a nice chef apron with tucks on it, so that's a good Christmas gift. An even more fun example was Jimmy's Barbecue in Malvern, Pennsylvania, and a customer who was wearing a Linux Link Tech Show T-shirt. The guy behind the counter had asked him, "Oh, do you know Eric Raymond?" So what I thought was really funny about that is that when I put Linux and barbecue in Google, that Linux Link Tech Show showed up as like the second thing in the list.
Along with an Eric Raymond reference.
Yeah, I know. That was pretty funny.
I think you should go on and say that's why we called this episode Barbecue at Panera.
That's right. Yeah. So who knows what happens next. But anyway, so just what is Linux Barbecue? Well, first the vitals. The name, of course, is Linux Barbecue. The maintainer is Julius Hader, or Hatter. H-A-D, D as in Delta, E-R. The distro's latest birthday is very difficult to determine, but the whole project itself, because this is actually a project, started in August of this year. Now, the Linux barbecue project and the spin-offs from it, I'm giving you a little bit more information, is based on Debian SID. The kernel that's used in, I think, most of them is 3.5.5, and the review desktop for me was Razer QT. But the distro that I had used, which is Oyster, had over 36 window managers in it.
Holy cow.
Exactly. That's why this project was really kind
of... Talk about freaking window manager bloat.
Yeah. So, well, but the thing of it is I had to switch to this. You know, we talked about what I was originally going to do. It was a distro drive-by, and I was going to have some sound effects, but...
Was Cinnamon in the list?
No, but I could have probably added it if you like. But, you know, just given the horrific incident... this past Friday, I thought it was inappropriate to have
for the drive-by,
machine
right.
gun stuff in it and stuff. So we'll do that some other time, but it wasn't appropriate for this weekend. But anyway, so I did find this, and I think this will be almost as fun. So according to the Linux Barbecue website, it's a multi-purpose OS based on Debian SID, spiced up with kernels and tools from Seduction, GRML, and Linux Mint. Now, from this foundation, Linux Barbecue lets you roast your own by taking a base barbecue install and customizing it and remix it. Now, also, community contributions are contributed into it so that you You can end up downloading something that maybe someone else has put together and put out there that might suit your fancy. But the barbecue itself consists of these base releases, and there are both 32 and 64-bit versions. First of all, you've got Open Box, Salted Bocca, which is Italian for, it's like an Italian dish of veal and whatever, because this comes from Italy, and Escargot. Gnome 3, it's got Box Spec, and then there's also a Mate version, and then there's an XFCE version called Kielbasa. So those are the base installs, and again, that's just the base system based on Debian SID. Now, from these base systems, the roll your own approach is encouraged. Now, some people have already put some out there. They have ROX, which is basically XFCE 64-bit with over 40 applications for musicians and producers. They've got what I originally thought was Stud, but I think it's really Stud because it's a student version bundled with tools for students. Unless they're studs, I don't know.
They're studly students.
Studly students, there you go. Then there's the next one was LaTeX, and I thought, oh my God, what are these? But as it turns out, it's for high quality typesetting. So right. It's the LaTeX programmer app that you use, that tool. Then there's one called Mother, and that's got a browser, mail client, office suite, something that your mother would use. They also say if you want to roll it yourself, you could put the wallpaper as a picture of you as a child.
She goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper.
Yes. All right. And then so they've got others there too. And then they've got a whole list of some versions that this guy has put together, or that the project's put together, and I've got a link to that in the show notes.
This sounds like a really cool distro. Hopefully it got good marks. We'll find out.
You know, actually, yeah, I'll tell you. But anyway, so with so many variations available in the project, you wonder where to start. Well, my first choice was Salted Bocca, but after several attempts to boot the CD I burnt, it was unsuccessful. It hung in the process. I decided to choose Oyster. Mostly because it had over 36 window managers installed there, and they took every window manager in Debian's repository and stuck it in this thing. So I was just morbidly curious about how it would work, how it would look.
How big was that download?
Here's the thing. There's not much in there. There's no office suite, and I'm going to tell you.
It's just the different desktops.
Yeah. Well, because Oyster is light on the default tools. You know, the default browser is IceWeasel. There is no office suite in there. There's no mail client in there, and it does use Thunar as the default file manager.
So a super light file manager.
So it's like 500, I think 500 megabytes.
And that's all, it's all window managers.
Yeah. So I'm not kidding yet. So you know the login screen when you can click to select your session, your desktop session. This thing,
it just scrolls
and scrolls and scrolls. So there's rat poison. Remember rat poison?
Yeah, I did
that one a long time ago. I think it was it seduction rat poison or was it something else?
No, it's something
I can't
else.
Remember. But anyway, yeah, so it had a ton of them. Okay, now I got way off where I was. Alright, so anyway, the boot to live was nothing special. The desktop has a simple look. There are no icons. There's just, and again, I chose Razer QT. There's a Razer QT panel at the bottom and Conky running on the right side monitoring system readings. A display below the readings, also courtesy of Conky, is a list of helpful Linux barbecue shortcuts. Because depending on the window manager you're using, if you're using a tiling window manager or a stacking window manager, that mouse may not be as helpful as you think. So what I really appreciated is the fact that you have got some little shortcuts over there. You know, Alt this, we'll do this, that type of thing. So anyway, but the attractive wallpaper displayed what looked like a picture of the Dolomite Mountains, which are in the Italian Alps. But in a word, the desktop itself was very crisp and clean looking. I liked it. During my testing, as I said, I tried several different window managers. I tried Sapphire. I tried, oh my goodness, there are a couple of other ones. And, you know, the challenge, of course, is that there are two kinds of people that use these window managers, either people who are masochistic or people who are really skilled with the keyboard. I'm neither one of those, and so I just get out of there and go into Razer QT, because Razer QT right now, compared to where it was when I reviewed it back in the beginning of the year, near the beginning of the year, it's come a long way. And it was actually very useful.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to move on here. Let's see here. The install process. So I decided to install Oyster. into a virtual machine. I just thought, you know, I'm not going to put this right on my partition directly. So it's not that I didn't trust it, but I didn't trust it. But there's nothing really special about it, except at the end of the process, when the bootloader was going to was installed, and that's Grub 2. The system kept spinning and telling me to wait a few minutes while the bootloader's installed. 10 minutes later, it's still telling me to wait. So finally, I just said, I'm closing this thing, and I'll just see what happens. So I killed the window, rebooted, no problem at all. So there must be some little bug in the process that doesn't close that window.
Yeah, it doesn't tell you it's over.
Yeah, so a little knock on there, but, you know, again, there's a little closed button. I hit it, it closed. So not a huge thing, but if you're not, I think people that are newbies are not going to be fooling around with this.
No.
So, but anyway, so as I noted earlier, the claim to fame is its ability to generate a snapshot of your desktop. And again, you can download from, it's got all the Debian repositories. You can download a combination of packages and then just spin up.
Now, does it have them all fired up for you, or do you have to fire up like Multiverse and non-free?
It's got the basic ones. I don't think Multiverse is in there.
What about non-free?
I don't think non-free
is in
there.
Well, if you're spinning up your own CD, then you can add those in.
Yeah.
You can, because I ended up adding, what did I add? I added something. Oh, I'm so sorry, I forget what it was. But I ended up adding something to it and worked fine. So anyway, now to create your ISO file, this is really the only thing I did with this because there's really not much else in there. It's done through a CLI tool called BBQ Snapshot. Now, I'm not sure if this is based on Remaster Sys or something else, but you can change settings. You basically, it'll just take what you've got, what you've built, and it creates the ISO.
Cool.
To start using it, you just simply use sudo BBQ Snapshot. During the process, I had an opportunity to edit the boot menu, which I left it alone. And after 15 to 20 minutes or so, I had a Linux bbq1.iso file, 519 megabytes, which is about the size of the one I downloaded, because, again, it was basically the same, and an MD5 hash in this file. These files were, for me anyway, were listed in the media / CB11 underscore / home / snapshot directory. All the working files that were used to create this are there, too. So you've got quite a bit of stuff. And the virtual machine was only 8 megabytes in size, but it was sufficient to create those, you know, those temporary files and, you know, the stuff I needed to build it. So it was kind of fun. You could do exploring. It listed all the packages. There was one file in there that listed all the packages that were installed. So that was kind of cool to see.
But that's why I love Linux. You installed a whole distro into an 8 megabyte VM, right?
No, 8 gig.
Oh, 8 gig. Yeah. Right. 8 gig. 8 gig's what I meant.
Yeah.
But did you know the minimum size for a VM to install Windows XP with all of its updates?
Mm-hmm.
20.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. And
yeah.
So, you know, and again, it's all handled from the command line, but you just type that in, and then if you don't want to adjust anything, you just kind of click through it, and there weren't that many clicks to do, and it just ran, you know, you get the little progress bar, the little spinning, slash things and stuff that go across the bottom, and that's it. Now, a few interesting programs I'm going to tell you. Now, it did not have the Office Suite, as I mentioned, but there are a few other weird ones. There's this Nut Nutrition. Now, this is a command line program that helps you track what you've eaten for each meal. So if you select, if you type in, like, say, I had fruit for breakfast, then it will then pull up, once you hit enter, it pulls up a whole list of things, and you just pick what you ate. And then it has stored in it all the nutritional value, you know, the types of vitamins, the types of carbohydrates, all this stuff. So I thought, wow, something to use after the first of the year. There's also Search Monkey, which was originally a Yahoo service that allowed developers and site owners to use structured data to make Yahoo search results more useful and visually appealing. Now, when Yahoo struck some deal with Microsoft in 2010, that was shut down. But apparently it may have been just released because it's available on SourceForge, although there hadn't been an update for well over a year. But it was out there on SourceForge.
What are you using for the desktop? Is that like a desktop search then for all your files? Is that what it's for? Or?
Yeah, it's, what it essentially did would take, the results. So you search for something, they come back and they're kind of formatted, they don't look exactly like the way
Google
does.
When you search something, you search the internet or you search your desktop?
Your site. It would be your site, your website, or something like that.
All right.
Yeah, so it just essentially takes it and reformats it and makes it really useful with a link, a little snippet of text, and some other stuff.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. So here's some of the other interesting stuff. System menu had install seduction to USB, which I did not do because in the virtual machine I still have not gotten it to recognize my USB port yet. There's a kernel remover tool in there for deleting old kernels.
That's a Fedora thing. Fedora has that.
Yeah, and it's Debian and Seduction, I think, too. It's a tool. So it's available in both Debian and Seduction because I checked what that was. The Office menu is completely empty except for a PDF viewer in there. And then there's a full-featured text web browser called eLinks. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it, but that's in there. And then, of course, because this is based on Debian, there's the complete Debian menu system in there. You know, you go up to Debian menu, and then it just pops open to a bunch of different things.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the accessories menu is where all the barbecue tools are. That's right. You got your big fork, your knife. No, just kidding. You've got the Linux barbecue cookbook, Linux barbecue menu. Now, the menu is basically an in-cursus menu for various CLI apps. You can, you know, just kind of toggle up and down and select. The Linux barbecue hospital, it's a troubleshooting area in case you have a problem with audio networking, your monitor display, that type of thing. And then there's the Linux barbecue training center, tutorials for AuxSed, for find, for permissions, for regex, and shell. And then the Linux barbecue window manager help. Pretty lengthy, but it's got actually just man pages for several, you know, for the Windows managers that have them. So that's all in the accessories. So that was really the most robust menu category of all of them. So as far as what I would give this, I would give this a 3.0. I give it a 3.0 because it gives you a ton of control over creating what I think would be a relatively stable distro. Because you're installing from the Debian repositories and any other ones that you choose to add. But it also gives you a chance to try out window managers. Again, if you download that Oyster release and do nothing but just play around with it, even just in the live environment, you can test out a ton of different window managers just to see what they're like.
That's cool.
And then if you're me, you'll just go run screaming back to my KDE desktop and say, oh, glad to be back here. But no, I think if you're a geek who's just hardcore keyboard, those light window managers, can't beat them.
That's cool.
So, and then one last thing, one of the more humorous things I said, they had in here, they said that they do include proprietary elements. We are well aware that this goes against the grain of the common FOSS ideas, but frankly, we care more for actually getting a working system than sitting behind our Wi-Fi-less computers as victors of idealism.
agree 100%.
I chuckled when I heard that.
Yeah, that's
that
good.
Was pretty darn funny. So anyway, but that's my review of Linux Barbecue. There'll be a link to it in the show notes as well as most of my review.
Yeah, that's
excellent.
That's
except for the ad hoc stuff we went on.
Yeah, yeah, so. Excellent.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
That's all right. Well,
that was really cool, Mary. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. You bet. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty neat.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
Okay, what do you got there, Matt?
First up, we have i386 support gone in Linux 3.8.
Yeah.
When Ingo Molnar, a Red Hat engineer and Linux kernel developer, requested that the Git tree called x86 nuke 386 for Linus be pulled for kernel 3.8, it marked the end of an era. This will completely remove support for Intel's 27-year-old 386 processor. 386 was the original processor that Linus started writing Linux on. Linus was not sentimental and had no problem pulling the tree. He even went on to suggest that maybe it was time to remove FPU, floating point unit support, which allows four old 486 SX machines to run. After further discussion, however, it was determined that there were a significant number of industrial embedded machines out there that this could not be removed. So in the end, the 386 is dead, but you'll still be able to run it on those old 486 SX and DX machines.
386 is dead. Long live the 386.
Yeah. 386 will be gone in 3.8, which actually removes a ton of complexity from the kernel.
I'm kind of surprised at that, too, because the 386, I suspect probably not backporting for compatibility, but just the hoops that you had to jump through.
Well, if you're looking at like a standard computer to run this kernel on a 386, mm-hmm. right, you're going to want to run an older kernel anyways
right.
with patches. So it's, yeah.
Next up, we have a new online magazine for Fedora. A new magazine for Fedora users and developers is in the works. There is currently a skeleton of the mag available here, link in the show notes. It is safe to say they will secure a better address than that before launch. It's rather, no, effed up. It runs on WordPress on top of OpenShift server. OpenShift is Red Hat's platform as a service. Everything mm-hmm. is still in the discussion phase, like the logo, themes, design, and such.
Okay.
They also have a call out for anyone who wants to help. They're looking for artists, designers, web administrators, marketing, and PR experts, writers, and editors.
All right.
Next up, at long last, Samba 4 is here. After 10 long years in development, it has finally arrived. I personally was beginning to wonder if it was ever going to really happen. It brings complete Active Directory.
But you're saying that right now?
Yes.
Okay.
It brings complete Active Directory support to Samba. The Samba team was able to recreate the entire Active Directory support from Microsoft documentation and their interoperability labs. Both we have courtesy of the EU. Here's what Thomas Fenning, Director of Development for Windows Server, had to say about it. Active Directory is a mainstay of enterprise IT environments, and Microsoft is committed to support for interoperability across platforms. We are pleased that the documentation and interoperability labs that Microsoft has provided have been key in the development of the Samba 4 Active Directory functionality. Very nice platitudes, I would say, but that's what they're saying publicly. But you know, behind closed doors, they are trying to rewrite AD to circumvent interoperability. The only reason Microsoft got so cooperative was because the EU said they had to and made them comply. You just have to look back. You just have to look back on previous statements they made about Samba, like this one made by Bill Hilf, who was then general manager for Microsoft Platform Strategy in, I think, 2005. With Samba, I'm really familiar with that technology, and I'd say that a lot of what they do under the guise of interoperability is clonability. I wouldn't say it's a great relationship, but we have a working relationship. They ask things of us, and we say, that's our IP! And they say, well, you should do it, because all software should be free. So, yeah, nice. It's a real love-hate relationship they have going on there. So don't be fooled by their current words of praise. They are false, and they are just waiting for the right time to break the interoperability. Congratulations goes to the entire Samba team. Well done.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it?
No, one more. Burn goes open source and officially bans Microsoft.
Yeah.
In an overwhelming majority vote, 36-20, the city of Bern, Switzerland, voted to accept the party motion put forward over a year ago. Plans for the development of open source design strategy and implementation should begin immediately. Here are the key points of the decision. Development of an open source strategy that provides for a rule that in all future procurements, the open source version is preferred. Active implementation of an open source development strategy be created using open source technologies, and adequate finances for implementation are provided. That's important because some city somewhere recently, their move to open source failed because they didn't fund it. They were using old shit and didn't make anything work with anything else.
Oh,
it was horrible. And then Microsoft points that out as, ooh, look, you know, open source migration failed. Yeah, well, because they didn't fund it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should look, I mean, any kind of migration from one platform to the other or upgrades,
right.
Even moving from XP to Windows 7 has to be funded.
Right, exactly.
Sorry, man.
Yeah. National and international network of computer science services that work together for the promotion and cooperation in the field of open source for government. And in education, promote the use of and the transition to open source software with targeted support and training for teachers with information and training on open source software. The only question left is what will a desktop environment be? My guess is KDE, as Bern is in the German-speaking part of Switzerland, and we all know the German roots of KDE.
Yeah.
So that's all I have for this week.
You know, I'm surprised that you didn't have Apple iPhone gets Google Maps back.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that came out kind of late in the week. But I'm glad to see that Apple wised up and took care of their customers, because I think the Australian government was going to either sue them or had deemed that the iPhone IMAPs or whatever they call them was dangerous, was a dangerous application.
Yeah, because it had people driving into the ocean in Australia.
Yeah. Well, jeez.
I mean, yes, your map program's bad, but it's horrible. I've never used it. But
I'm not saying anybody actually drive. Actually, nobody actually drove into the ocean.
All right.
Oh no, there was that one car.
Yeah, there was one.
And but
I think they were cars.
But no, it told you that roads went off into the ocean.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So anyway, but that. Yeah. So that was kind of wild. I got a few. I got two, maybe two, maybe three, and then I got my little KDE corner, which I'll jump through pretty quick. One of them is, I'm going to have a link in the show notes to Mark Shuttleworth's comments about Ubuntu's goals to be a single OS from phone to supercomputers. And I really think
good
they'll
luck.
Do it. I think they'll do it.
Without a kernel developer, never happen.
Right. If anybody can do it, they'll do it.
They don't have a kernel. They don't have anybody that works on the kernel in Ubuntu. No one.
Don't they have somebody working on the ARM? Support for it? Because I know
maybe
they have a separate,
but they have no dedicated kernel developer.
Well, Shuttleworth says they're close to running on everything. Of course, what does close mean?
Yeah, we don't
know. But anyway, I wanted to mention that, and that'll be in the show notes. The other one is Secure Boot. Microsoft shows up Linux. Can you believe it?
Oh yeah, that's a thud.
It's an author's opinion. Well, no, I mean it's an opinion piece, but he's got a good point. Think about this. Rather than the Linux distros, Fedora, Ubuntu, Red Hat, all those guys, let me finish, getting together and presenting a united front for this, everybody kind of went off and did their own little thing.
That's the way Linux works.
And then, and generally speaking, that's good. But I think in this case, it was not good because you end up there with Microsoft kind of owning it. And I think that's not good. So I thought the article was interesting from that perspective, and I'm including a link in the show notes. So anyway, a couple other things here. I've got a couple KDE things real quick. I'm going to be pasting a link in the chat and the show notes for a link to some KDE holiday wallpapers for any of you who are interested. And then also the KDE software updater, which is the Muon suite, they just released an alpha for their 2.0. I started playing around with it a little bit. Not the alpha version, but just the current version, because I use Synaptic. Synaptic. I'm kind of a hardcore Synaptic person, and I like it. But Muon is getting better, so I think maybe I'll switch over to it when the 2.0 comes out. There's a child in here. And then the other couple other quick things here. I installed KDE Desktop Recorder, which worked beautifully except for the audio. I'm going to put a link in there along with a couple little comments about it. So people might be interested in giving that a try.
You know, I watched a review of Seduction this week, and he was complaining about the same thing. He had to record his sound in one in the desktop in another because he couldn't get the sound to work in the desktop recorder.
I tried USB mic. I tried just the regular jack in type mic, you know, with the little plug into the audio jack. I tried all that stuff. It would crash. But boy, once I pulled that out and just using the desktop itself for the video, worked perfectly. So anyway, it's a nice little app aside from that.
Somebody in the IRC wants you to post a link to the UEFI piece.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Okay, great. I will do that right now. I guess that's all I'm going to say in the interest of time. I got a few other little, got a couple of other things, but we can probably move on. So, Tony, you got anything?
Yeah, I got one thing that I found, and it's, Gmail client for Vim. So you can command line to be able to get in and check your Gmail.
Wow, maybe using
Vlinks. You can just hook Mutt up to your Gmail account.
He quit ruining his new story,
Matt. Within Vim.
Within Vim.
And it says you have to have links.
What, are they turning Vim into Emacs?
Right. Ooh, Emacs.
So that looked pretty cool. And the screenshots looked usable. You know, you can get in and...
All right. I'm going to go quiet that child.
No, I know.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, it looks pretty cool. And, it looks like the old school, like my first computer was, DOS shell.
You know, our camera keeps turning and turning.
Yeah.
we're okay now.
But it looks kind of like
Tony's not in the shot at all.
Well, I know.
It's like in the chair. It's like out here.
There is it?
It's not a big deal.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Our camera.
Yeah, anyways. Okay. We'll keep right on rolling. I do have this applied.
So, yeah, it looks pretty cool. It says you can install it with AppGet or Brew, Yum, Emerge, whatever it's connected in there.
Now it's time for Mary's quiz show. Is it alive?
That's right. During this segment of the show, I challenge Matt and Tony to identify whether a Linux distro is alive or dead. I come at them full force this week with a new crop, or is that corpse, of distros. We're not twisting this week. So the question is very simple. Is it alive or dead? And Tony, you can't look at my... Don't even look!
Yeah.
All right. Here are the items for this week's show. Kangani Linux.
Kangani?
Kangani Linux.
Dead.
Alive.
Kangani Linux is a
You can see. You can see.
I can't.
Is a, no, and I got my cup hiding
it. Is that good?
He can't see. Hey, he can't see.
Yeah, that's good. That works for me.
Okay. It's a Slackware-based desktop-oriented distribution on a live CD. Its main features are a graphical installer, integrated setup system called the Kangani Integrated Setup System called KISS, and an easy-to-use ports installation GUI called PIG. I thought, hey, this is going to be one of ours. All right, the next one is Arch Herd, alive or dead?
I'm going with alive.
Yeah, alive.
Arch Herd is a derivative work of Arch Linux,
yep,
porting
with
it to
the
a
Herd
kernel system, yep, with packages optimized for the 686 architecture. So what I have to do here is make sure that, Matt, you said...
It's 2-1. I got it
in
my head.
Okay, good. Well, there's where we're going wrong. All right, the next one is, Hikarunix, or excuse me, Hikarunix Linux.
Dead.
Hikarunix was a Linux Live at one time. based on Damn Small Linux and dedicated to Go, a popular Asian strategy game. So, like, its main thing was to
was
play
Go
games.
Theme, yeah.
So it's dead, and you both got that. Well, Tony, you're hanging on to a slim lead here.
I know.
Pressure's building. Okay, the next one. Speaking of building, this one is called Buildix. You can't see it either.
I know. He's got his hat over his face.
I'll say alive.
Dead.
Buildix was...
Oh, tied!
Ubuntu-based Linux distribution developed by global IT professional services firm ThoughtWorks. But anyway, yep, so dead. And you said, Matt, you said dead, and Tony said alive.
Yep.
Okay.
Tied, 3-3.
Okay. All right, the next
tiebreaker. This is it. This is the last question.
I should have an odd number on here. All right. Well, that wouldn't matter anyway.
No.
Never mind. Okay, LPS Linux. That's called lightweight portable security Linux. Alive or dead?
Alive.
Lightweight portable Linux?
Yes.
Said the man under the hat.
I would say it's alive.
We both alive.
Lightweight portable security Linux is a Linux-based live CD.
Tie. This week goes down to a tie.
Oh, my God. We're coming into the final one. You got
is there one more?
Yeah, we got one more.
Oh.
We got one more. So this is perhaps the tiebreaker, Tony's two-episode winning streak. All right. The next one is it's called Nova Linux.
Nova Linux. Dead.
Oh, I was going to say dead. But then we wouldn't be tied. I have to go out soon. One of us will win.
Okay.
So I'm going to say alive.
Nova Linux was a user-friendly desktop
Linux
distribution developed by the University of Computer Sciences in Havana. So, está muerto. It's dead. But here's the irony of it.
Means.
Nova means it doesn't go.
Yeah, no go.
So, anyway, so, I guess, Matt, you've just resumed,
I won. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would have gone for the tie if I really thought it was dead if I were you, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
What did you get there? Four to three?
4-3.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. All right, there we have it. So, yeah. stay tuned for our next episode of Is It Alive next week. Or whatever it is I say at the end of that.
Which will be Twist Week next week.
That's right. Yeah. I'll come up with a good one, too.
I think I like
my Colonel Nicknames one. That thing just came to me.
I think for one of the Twist Weeks, what it would be, not Christmas, but the one after that, the New Year's, mm-hmm. maybe I'll do it, and then it'll be you two. I'll come up with the question.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I wish I'd wrote it down. Last week, I had this really good idea, and now I can't remember it. Like, what I would do to Twist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, well.
So I'll work on that.
Yeah, we can rotate it. The only pressures on me is to create the thing, and I've got a template, so I'll give you the template.
Sure.
You know, so. All right. Well, there you go. So, thanks for playing, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Matt's the winner.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, what do we got next?
Do I have to have a concession speech?
No.
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a listener feedback line. And that number is 313-626-9140. All right. Yes, no listener feedback. No, actually, every time I get one, I save it. I save it to my Dropbox.
All right.
So I think there was one that came in. I think that was Chatter that said that there was
And there was some on my,
Chatter sent us the information about the.
Yeah, thanks, Chatter, for turning me on to that I-386 stuff, although I found it about the same time.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure whether it was, which one was first, but I found it or your email came
in. You know, we did get something, also from Eastling. In China, about the Tails distro.
Yes,
review I did last week. He said, when in China, forget trying to use Tails or any Tor-based anonymity system. The Chinese know any and all of the TCP/IP addresses and block them. I've even tried other anonymity software that use various anonymity servers with no avail. They know all of those addresses, too, and block them. About the only way to circumvent the bamboo firewall is VPN. But even then, I wouldn't be 100% sure it would work. All connections go through caching servers, and therefore, they can easily perform a man-in-the-middle attack. I often get unwarranted and unexpected advertisements, not a pop-up, but a web page advertisement. When I check the addresses in my browser, it reads the address of the site I want. It's just that they sent me to an advertisement web page with the same address. If I hit the back key and forward key, I get the web page I was trying to go to. The other thing that they like to do is to rewrite web pages, especially if there are prices listed on them. A friend of mine who uses a VPN says that when he goes to a web page, while not using the VPN, versus using the VPN, the prices for books and other things will be different. They will often be higher in the non-VPN web page. The price listed will be more in line with the higher prices you pay in China at a local store.
So it's like they put a tax on there. Or
yeah, man, I'll tell you.
Or they just make them appear higher so that then you'll buy it locally anyway.
So we
also had a couple of comments on my Google Plus announcement about last week's show. Paul Goff mentioned that the distro stats are misleading. And they are misleading. We do know that, and we do say it occasionally. They're just the hits of the DistroWatch page because
I think our recording says that.
If you look at the Ubuntu forums versus the Linux Mint forums, there's way more users active on the Ubuntu forums than on the Linux Mint forums.
As I said, I'm going to add up Kubuntu. I'm going to add all those special.
And so I replied to him. I said, well, that could be just chalked up to the fact that more Ubuntu users need help than Mint users need. and I did put a little smiley face at the end of that, but he didn't take it kindly as a joke. Uh-huh. So
he's in a booty, right?
Yeah, must be. And then Omar Mack also said, glad to see that I'm back and feeling better, and he wants my opinion on the Fedora 18 beta installer, because that's what's actually holding it up as the installer now.
Yep.
And I have no opinion on it. I haven't tried it. I haven't used it. So. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try an in-place upgrade, even though Fedora doesn't encourage that, and see how it works.
Nice.
Well, do report to us next week.
Right. Well, when it comes out.
Yeah.
There's a couple things I want to talk about a little bit with regards to not necessarily feedback, but something that listeners may have noticed. Last week when I posted the show, I had the link wrong for the manual download link.
So yeah, I noticed that too.
We had, 124 people try to download it, and it didn't work. I fixed it, and then the regular downloads are working. So sorry about that. But
yeah, we do apologize.
Yeah. Also, we got another message about the New Year's Eve, New Year's 24-hour thing that HPR is doing. So I'm going to try to get on there when I can. I don't have any definite time to win.
Can you get down there as a group together? Want to plan the same time remotely from our locations? Or how do we want to do that? Well, we can talk about that.
Yeah, what's the date on that? Or day?
December 31st?
Wednesday? Yeah, actually they're doing it December 31st from GMT to midnight December 1st.
Okay.
Or like noon to noon. Something like that.
Okay.
GMT.
Okay.
I believe.
But that's like Monday night to, or is that a Tuesday night? It's Monday to Tuesday. Yeah.
I think it might be noon to noon GMT is what they're doing. I'm not sure.
Oh, that noon is like 9 a.m. here, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or,
earlier than that.
A little earlier.
5 hours.
Yeah.
6 a.m. Whatever, yeah.
All right, whatever.
All right. Yeah, so we'll have to figure out a time to get on with that.
Good thing we don't run a time server. okay.
Cool.
So, you know what I'm going to try to do over the Christmas holiday? I'm going to try to play around with that Linux from scratch a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I started doing that, then I had to give up my laptop for the cause.
Oh, sorry, Mary.
Sitting over there, but, you know, maybe I'm going to partition it and put that on a smaller partition and then.
Featured music of the week.
Part I never listen to.
Well, at least you won't be disappointed this week, Matt. Because if you don't listen to it, then you wouldn't care if I didn't find one.
there you go.
Anyway, so I'm going to go back to one of Mary's suggestions. And maybe, Mary, I should just turn this over to you. I'm going to look at we're going to do the Oriental Rock Lullaby. I guess that's it. We're coming to the end of the show.
Yep, we are.
Yep, so you've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is episode 62.
Barbecuing at Panera.
Yeah. This is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
And Mary Tomich.
Saying, have a good week. See you next week.